Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the word of the Lord.
This morning we have Dr. George Kladis here with us this morning. He was with us yesterday, spent some time with the staff, with the deacons, with the COM, and Pastor Greg in the spring said, "Dr. George Kladis is coming. He's my friend. I know him from seminary. He will be great. You will really like him." And he spent a lot of time with us on team leadership. And so it was really, really helpful, really encouraging. He's written a book on leading team-based church. He has the unique blend of having corporate experience, nonprofit experience, as well as church ministry experience. And so he's currently an executive pastor at a church in Massachusetts. He's pastored small, medium, and large churches. And so it's been great to have you with us. Thank you for coming to Hong Kong, and we look forward to hearing what God has laid on your heart. Thank you.
Please. Well, it's really a delight and a pleasure to be with you and here at a church where my longtime friend, Gregory Anderson, pastors, we used to call him Gregory. He used to sign his name, Gregory, with a little fish in seminary. You should bug him about that. Say, "Why don't you use the little fish anymore, Pastor Greg?" He was a good friend in seminary, and we've kept up over the years, and it's just a delight to be here with you. Pastor Michelle has also been really delightful to get to know, and has been really helpful in getting me oriented to Union Church in Hong Kong and helping me make arrangements and plans to come here as well. Thank you. So I am going to be speaking after this service. I guess we'll have a light lunch, and I'll speak for 45 minutes on a word in Greek called the economos. It's in the New Testament. It's a word that's used throughout ancient Greek as well, and it has a rich tradition. It's where we get the word economy, economist. Steward also comes from it, stewardship, although I'm not going to be speaking about stewardship precisely. It's really a great word, an application of how we live our lives in faith. I'll speak for 45 minutes and then entertain some questions afterwards. So I loved the music today. This is obviously the more vibrant church, right? Let me be careful here. I know, right? These guys love it. We worship God in so many different ways. I love liturgical worship. You know, I was raised partly Greek Orthodox and partly Presbyterian, and I can go into a Greek Orthodox church, and I love the liturgy. I love the liturgy of the Anglican church. It's very rich and meaningful. And also, I love charismatic churches, so I like the whole gamut. And it reminds me of my days at Princeton Seminary. And our senior year, if we weren't working in a church, we were invited to be a guest preacher in other churches. As students, we really needed, you know, the practice. And I'm not sure if Pastor Greg did this. I did it my senior year. And I'll never forget coming back with the other students who did it, and we would compare notes about the churches that we were preaching in and how to go. And I remember one particularly very serious theological student. And he said, "Well, I went up to the pulpit, and I opened up the Bible and my sermon, and I began." We find here in the prologue to the Gospel of John something very meaningful about the word logos. And someone in the front row said, "Amen." And he looked over his glasses and he proceeded on. And the church again began to amen as he went into a sermon. And he said by the end of a sermon, he was walking back and forth. "And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, about the Word of God here." He said it changed his preaching entirely. So every kind of worship is worship of God. My text for this morning from Matthew, the name of my sermon is this: Crossing Lines. And there are some lines of faith that we are called not to cross. So I want to begin with that. We did a sermon series in the church I'm from in Hopkinton, Massachusetts, just outside Boston, called Guardrails. That there are guardrails for a reason, that if you cross them, you get hurt. And so certainly there are some lines we should not cross. And when we do, we get hurt. And you can think of the Ten Commandments as the beginning place of lines that we shouldn't cross. And I drive the Massachusetts Turnpike many days every week, and those are lines you don't want to cross. You want to stay within the lines. But on the other hand, there are other lines that God calls us to cross, that Jesus crossed, and his disciples crossed, and the church for centuries has, with courage, crossed. Those are the kinds of lines we're looking at today. And what spurs us is this passage, very complicated, difficult passage from Matthew chapter 15. Years ago, I was pastoring a church in Connecticut, Metro New York City. And I was doing an early morning jog, and I went down a street I don't normally go down. And as I was running down the street, this dog came tearing after me, running across the lawn. And I thought he was going to attack me. I mean, you could see his jaws moving and his tongue off to one side as he's coming at me, looking like an attack dog. And I sped up a little bit. But he came to the edge of his property and then came to a rapid stop, abrupt stop. And it looked like he had done this several times because there were these major ruts in the grass right there. And I looked close and he had a collar on, and I'm guessing there was one of those buried, invisible fences, you know, that if you cross them, if you're a dog, you get zapped. And I thought, you know, that would be a really good sermon illustration. There are some lines that when we cross, we get zapped. Certainly Jesus did. And yet, God says, we are to cross them anyway. So a little background for our text in Matthew 15 before we look at the passage for today. Jesus is up in Galilee with his band of followers, and he's preaching and teaching. Galilee up to the north was an area populated by Jews. And then down to the south in Judah was Jerusalem, and that was what you could call headquarters for the Pharisaical party. And the Pharisees down in Jerusalem heard that Jesus was doing some new kind of teaching and so on up in Galilee, and so they sent a deputation of Pharisees and scribes to go and see what he was doing and saying. Something like, go and take notes, we're going to keep a file on him. And these things would come back on Jesus later, as we know. So these Pharisees go up to Galilee, and they're listening to Jesus teach and watching what he does. And they notice that his disciples do not do the ritual preparation of washing hands in a certain way before eating the meal. They're disregarding the tradition of the elders and what they were supposed to do to be made right with God, to be correct in their religious practice of honoring God. And the Pharisees, as most of you probably know, were very strict about this. They believed that by following about 613 different rules, you could be made right with God, justified before God. And if you broke them, then you cause distance between you and God. So they were especially concerned about what Jesus was teaching here with his disciples. Jesus responds by saying, look, it's not what you eat that defiles you or how you eat. It's what comes out of you, meaning your words, your actions, the exhibition of your character. That shows who you are. That is what defiles you, not what you eat. And in the Gospel of Mark, there's a parenthetical remark right here in its parallel text that says, in this manner, Jesus declared all foods clean. For the Jews were unable to eat certain kinds of food that were forbidden in Leviticus. Well, the Pharisees are really angry. And they tell his disciples, you know, Jesus can't be teaching this. This is breaking the rules. This is breaking the tradition of the elders. And Jesus uses this as a teaching opportunity to the people around. And he criticizes the Pharisees and their religious show of religiosity. This just infuriates the Pharisees even more. So apparently, Jesus now is feeling the heat. And he takes his band of followers and leaves and goes to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, that's Gentile country. He crosses a line. He crosses a border. And this is very unusual for a Jewish rabbi to take his little school of followers into Gentile territory because he runs the risk of becoming unclean by being in an unclean land, a ritually impure land. Just underscoring what has just happened between him and the Pharisees. And while he was there, this incident, our scripture reading for today, happens. And I want to review that with you now. So the text says that leaving that place, that's Galilee, they withdraw to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and there a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him. Now, the text says Canaanite woman. This is the only place in the New Testament where that word is used, and it underscores that she is an outsider, at least to the Jews. She is a person who is unclean, a foreigner. And Jesus, as a Jewish rabbi, is not to associate with someone like her. But she approaches. She comes near. And she cries out, saying, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Now, when you read the Bible, you've got to feel it. Don't just let those words flow by you without asking yourself, what is really going on here? What's the emotion of the text? How is this being said? I love the way you read the text today and how you felt what was going on in it. And here in this passage, what is she feeling? My daughter for 10 years suffered with an illness. 3 times she nearly died. The third time the doctor said, I've never seen someone alive with her blood chemistry. During that time, I felt utterly desperate and powerless to help her. A father is supposed to be able to protect his family, and I couldn't help. Maybe you've experienced something of the same, some kind of desperation and pain like this woman. I get her, that she's so brave and courageous to come to Jesus because of her suffering daughter. Now, notice what happens next. And, you know, this didn't have to be in the text, but it underscores the reaction of Jesus to her. This is what the text says. Jesus did not answer a word. He's silent before her pain. Now, I took the opportunity to look at some of the sermons online that Pastor Greg has been preaching this summer. I think he's been preaching through the Psalms, if I'm not mistaken, and probably has taught you about some of the laments that are in the Psalms. That's where the psalmist says, Lord, don't you care? Look at what's going on with me. Why are you so silent? The enemy's at the gate. Hello, God, are you listening? I am full of pain here, God. Where are you? There's a whole book on this, right, in the Bible called Lamentations. And don't you love that the Bible is so real in its description of our experience, that sometimes we are a desperate people crying out to a silent God? And that's what we find here in this text. I'm sure you've been there, most of you, at some time in your life. Do you feel her pain? And then Jesus says this, and this complicates things. I'm sorry. The next thing that happens is disciples come to him and urge him, and I love this. This is their solution to the problem. Send her away. She keeps crying after us. In other words, Jesus, get rid of her. She's annoying. She's irritating. Her voice is screechy. And that would be the appropriate thing to do. That's what disciples of Rabbi would do in this situation. Keep her from him, lest the rabbi be made unclean by her approach. But Jesus says this, and how did he say it? Again, what's the inflection? I don't know. Maybe it was something like this. I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. In other words, was he responding to her? Was he responding to the disciples? Or maybe he's talking to the heir. Maybe he's even talking to the Father. Maybe this is almost like a prayer. I'm sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. He had said something earlier in a similar fashion in the Gospel of Matthew, that his ministry was to the house of Israel. It's as if he's repeating that. It's as if he's reminding himself of his mission, of his calling, what he's supposed to do here, that he would be to the people of Israel, but it would be his followers, the church, that would take the word into all the world, right? Even as far as China. And then what happens next? Look at this woman. She comes and kneels before him. She crosses a line now. She's getting bold. She comes even closer. She kneels down and she says, Lord, help me. Jesus, now his struggle seems to intensify because right before him is such human pain, and Jesus feels pain. But his mission, he says, and oh my gosh, how do we understand this? Perhaps he said it like this: it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs? Now, that sounds rude, and it is kind of rude. but maybe not quite as rude as it sounds. There was a word for dog that was used for Gentiles that would be commonly used in this case. And it was a dog that meant, it was a word that meant alley dog, the dogs that are outside the house, that live in the streets, that eat off of dead things and stuff that's on the alleyways. And that's not the word Jesus uses here. Instead, he uses the word house doggy. And that's what the word referred to is the dogs that live in the house and their pets. And so using this word kind of softens it, and also as if he brings her into the house, just not at the table yet. And again, how does he say this? I wonder if, like, again, some kind of struggle going on within him. The children's, the food, the bread is, the children's bread is for the children. And then she has this marvelous response. Yes, it is, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table, the master's table. Wow. At that, Jesus melts. Do you want to impress Jesus? Be annoying, be irritating. Be persistent, and a person of faith. He couldn't resist, could he? And he said, your daughter is healed. Now notice the lines that were crossed here. First of all, he crossed a line of what actually defiles a person, going against the Pharisaical law and therefore offending the Pharisees, right? That's a pretty big line he crossed. Second of all, he crossed a line going from the Jewish land of Galilee to the Gentile land of Tyre and Sidon and put himself in a place where this awkward situation happened. Thirdly, he crossed a line of talking to a woman, let alone a Canaanite woman. Fourth of all, he crossed the line of healing a Gentile woman's daughter and thereby initiating something of a mini ministry to the Gentiles that would actually become much, much larger as you go into Matthew 16 and beyond. These are big lines that he crossed, and he would get zapped for doing that. Now, what are some ways we can apply this text to us? Here's some application points. Though, let God, let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart specifically about how God might be calling you to cross lines, appropriate lines. First, are we willing to reach out to those different from us with the love of Christ and the invitation to the gospel? I learned yesterday that you have a ministry to the homeless here in Hong Kong, and my hunch is for most of you, that's crossing a line, and uncomfortable and awkward. But God calls us to cross those kinds of lines, right? Second of all, who are the people we reject, even despise, that God is calling us to love? Third, are we following religious laws, rituals, doctrines, dogmas, rather than in the footsteps of Jesus? Because when you follow in the footsteps of Jesus, your life is touched and changed, and you become different, and find yourself doing things crazy, like crossing lines like this. And fourth, who are we shutting out of our lives? Get rid of her! That God is calling us to open up to. And lastly, why should we even bother? You know, it's a little bit messy to cross lines. It's a little bit uncomfortable going outside of the box of who we are and our own people and so on. Why would we even do this? You can be a nice Christian person, go to church, go to Bible study, and never cross a line like this. What's our motivation? It's this. It's because God crossed a line to get to you. And God did that out of love. So I told you I was looking at sermons from earlier this year of Union Church, and I saw Dr. Bland had preached a marvelous sermon in March on Luke 15, you know, the parables of lost and found. And just quickly, as you, to recall that for you in her marvelous sermon, the first parable was, God is like a woman who loses a coin, and she searches her house to find it. And when she finds it, she celebrates. And so God, like a woman, searches her house for you and won't rest until she finds you. And then celebrates that out of love, she has found you. And God, like a good shepherd, leaves the 99 to go after that one that wandered off. And when the good shepherd finds that lost sheep, puts the sheep, the lamb on his shoulders, returns him to the fold and celebrates. Why? Because he loves that lamb. So God loves you. And third, the prodigal who said, I reject you. I don't want you. I don't want anything about you. Give me my inheritance. I'm out of here. Goes to a foreign land, squanders it all on loose living. Comes to his senses, returns home, just wants to be hired back as an employee. But instead is greeted by the father. With a family robe and a family signet ring and shoes showing freeman on his feet. And welcome back into the family. And will the other prodigal son, the elder brother, celebrate or not? The point is, God crossed a line to you and to me, searched the universe for you and me out of love. And so now calls us to love as he has loved. And cross the lines that God calls us to cross. Not just any line, but the ones God calls us to cross. Out of love. For the God who first crossed a line from heaven across the chasm of the cross to you and to me. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks and praise that you did not just sit up in heaven and ignore us, but came to earth in human form in the one Jesus who felt our pain and took all of our sufferings on the cross and died for us. As the lyricist wrote, if nails didn't hang him there, love would. And so has redeemed us and calls us now to love as we have been loved. So empower us, equip us, send us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.